The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all his creation.
All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And your faithful ones shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom.
And tell of your power.
To make known to all people your mighty deeds.
And the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord upholds all who are falling.
And raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you.
And you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand.
And you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord's ways are just.
And the Lord's doings are kind.
The Lord is near to all who call on him.
To all who call on the Lord in truth.
The Lord fulfills the desire of all the faithful.
And hears their cry and saves them.
All who love the Lord preserves.
And all the wicked the Lord destroys.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever.
It's totally unrehearsed. This is about trust. You trust your dad.
Yeah.
Will he help me? Yeah. If you were standing right here, and please stand up here, Elia. Stand right here. And I want your dad to stand right behind her.
Okay.
Have Pastor stand behind her.
Okay.
Now come here. Stand and look at Joe back there. Come up a little closer. What I'm about to have.
Okay.
Eliana, if you fell backwards, would your dad catch you? Try it. Do you trust him? Just fall backwards. Says, no, I'll go this way. But sure you would. And that's what this morning's message is going to be about, trust and trusting God. That just like you trust your dad.
You sing a song about trust, remember? Grown-ups come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very important for all of us just to trust God. In everything, no matter what happens or what's going on, we just need to really trust him and know that he's there to catch us when we fall. Can you pray with me? Heavenly Father.
We thank you, Lord.
That we can trust you with anything. In Jesus' name, amen.
It comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 1 through 3 and 22. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whose Sarah bore him. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father, and he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And if you could please stand, if able, for the gospel reading this morning. And the gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
This is the word of God for we the people of God, let us say. Thanks be to God, you may be seated. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So last week, we started our new series about how God provides blessings. And we learned how, from the creation story, that God creates order in our chaotic lives. Amen? And the way that he does this is through his word and his Holy Spirit, and also by giving us his rest, his Sabbath. And I gave you a challenge, didn't I? How many of you took the 10 and 10 challenge this week? To start to read your Bible for 10 minutes a day and to pray 10 minutes a day. I encourage you, don't give up if you haven't started. Take the 10 and 10 challenge and see what God can do. See how God can provide blessings that create order in your life. I'm taking it too. And there's many distractions, but God is faithful. So we can encourage each other. Maybe if you see each other during the week, just say, Hey, how's your 10 and 10 going? Well, you can do it. I believe in you. And I know God has faith in you. So today, we heard this wonderful story. We're now farther along in Genesis, and we're back with our familiar patriarch, Abraham, aren't we? And we know that from previous messages this year and last year, that Abraham was given a promise, but he was called to leave behind his family, everything he knew, to follow God, and God would bless him, would give him many descendants, and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the sea, and his descendants would be a blessing to all nations, and he would lead them and protect them into this promised land that he was going to give to them. But here's the thing about Abraham. Abraham was really old. Abraham was in his 90s, and he would later on be 100 before this would come to fruition for him. And his wife was barren. She couldn't physically have kids. But he looked at his life, and as we heard earlier this summer from Romans chapter 4, that he considered his life, but instead he chose to trust God. And he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Amen? Amen. We've learned that if you want to grow strong in your faith, you give glory to God. When we magnify God, our problems, our circumstances seem a lot smaller, don't they? So, we're pretty familiar with Abraham. But Abraham, while he trusted God, he still had his own self-will that became an obstacle to God's grace sometimes in his life. And he grew impatient. He wanted that promise that God gave him so bad that he was willing to do what he could in his power to try to make it come about. And so, because his wife was barren, and he wanted to fulfill that promise, he had a concubine named Hagar, who was an Egyptian. And he sired a son through her, whose name was Ishmael. And Abraham loved Ishmael. He loved Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promised descendant that God had promised him. And later on, God was faithful. And God provided Sarah, who when she heard about the birth announcement, she laughed. But she had a son, and his name was Isaac, which means he laughs. And Isaac was the promised son for Abraham. He was to be the one that the promise was to come down through. It was to be his descendants that would be more numerous than the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. And so God saw that Abraham had Ishmael, whom he loved, whom he created with his own will and his own power and his desire to fulfill what God had promised. I think Abraham was even trying to be faithful in a way. That this was really good for him, he thought. But it wasn't the great thing that God had for him. And eventually, God called Abraham to trust him and to send Ishmael away. And he kept hearing it from his wife, Sarah, who she saw a rivalry between the boys, and so she wanted Ishmael to be sent away. And it broke Abraham's heart. And so he had to send away his first son, Ishmael. But God promised to bless him and to make him numerous and to be the ancestor of many princes. And so he sent them off into the desert. And Hagar, at one point, reaches where they're tired and they're thirsty and they're weeping. And she's about to leave her son under a thicket because she thinks they might die. But then God calls to her and God promises to bless him and will take care of him, just like he promised Abraham he would. And as she looks over, God provided a spring so that they could drink. At the right time when she needed it, God provided that water that they needed to drink to stay alive. And we know through Jesus that we have been provided living water that we can drink from, that flows from the throne in heaven. Amen? That he is the fount of living water. See, even though Abraham was grieved about sending away his good son that he loved, that wasn't what God had planned and promised him. But God still worked with him, and he provided. And he saw the cries and heard the cries of Hagar and answered her prayers and gave them that spring that they needed to stay alive and the promise that he would be with them. And he blessed Ishmael, who would become the father of many nations. But then there's Abraham and Isaac and Sarah. And he loves Isaac. And Isaac is growing up. And Abraham realizes, I've got what God promised me. He has the great. He has it all now. His faith has probably increased tenfold. But then God calls him. And I want us to turn to our Bibles to Genesis 22. He says, don't miss this here. After these things, God tested Abraham. I wanted you to hear that because many of us parents struggle with this story. It makes us uncomfortable. How could God, who's compassionate and merciful and is supposed to be all good and all loving and all gracious, how could God ask a father to sacrifice their own child? But it says that God tested Abraham. This is only a test. It's like that emergency broadcasting. This is only a test. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. He said, take your son, He doesn't just say your son. He says your only son. Acknowledging that Ishmael was not the promised son. Isaac is everything he's ever wanted and all that he has. Your son, your only son, your only begotten son. Another way to say it, Isaac, whom you love. He says, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. Abraham's not calling the shots here. God is giving him clear directions and giving him the opportunity to be faithful and obedient. He's walking by faith and not by sight. He's walking by that faith that is the conviction of things not seen, the substance of things yet hoped for, as we see in this text. As he prepares to go, they're coming up the mountain. And Isaac says to him, Father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Remember this. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And I'm sure he said this with tears in his eyes, and it was probably even hard to look at his son. But as they're going up the mountain, he says, God will provide. God will provide. God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. He was speaking the faith that he could not see. And he was putting it in God's court, in God's hands, to provide for his needs what he knew he could not provide for himself. Because he was called to give up his spotless lamb, his only son whom he loved, Isaac. But he said, God will provide himself. Yahweh Yireh in Hebrew, or Jehovah Jireh, as you might have heard. The Lord will provide. Abraham gave a new name to God, the God who provides. The God who provides. And so they get up on the mountain, and he builds an altar there. He lays the wood in order, and he binds his son Isaac, who loves his father and trusts his father and does not struggle, and lays him on the altar on top of the wood. He reaches out his hand, takes out the knife to sacrifice, to even kill his son, because somehow, some way, in his heart of hearts, he knows that God is going to provide this lamb. He doesn't know how, but he trusts God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have lifted up that knife. But then the angel, the messenger of the Lord, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, your son whom you love, your greatest blessing in your life. Your only son, you have not withheld from me. And Abraham looked up, and what did he see? He saw a ram. Now he said God would provide a lamb for the burnt offering, but he provided a ram. Isn't that peculiar? I was dumbfounded when I saw that this week. And I was talking with Roger this week, and we were kind of reflecting on why was there a ram up there? What's the difference between a ram and a lamb? A ram is older, right? A ram's like the dominant male. And they're in the rocky crag region, which is probably too dangerous for a lamb. But a ram had matured. And God, instead of providing a lamb right there, he provided a ram. It's almost like God had been waiting for them and had everything they needed. And once they got there, it was the right time. It was that, in the Greek, in the New Testament, they call it the kairos time, the now, the fulfillment. That ram was there. And so Abraham went and took the ram that was caught in a thicket by its horns and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. It was an even better offering than his son, because if he would have sacrificed his son, where would the promise come from? So while God tested Abraham, Abraham's faith put God to the test. And I know that we're not supposed to put God to the test, but our faith puts it in God's hands. And God is the one who, it's on him in his righteousness, in his integrity, in his justice, in his holiness, in his love, in his character, to fulfill and keep his promises to bless his people. And so God passed the test too, because he provided, just like Abraham said he would. And so on that day, he called, "On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." See, I look at Abraham's life, and Abraham, once he failed to get what he wanted himself, and he had to give up what he thought he wanted and the good that he brought about in his own power in his life, trying to be faithful to God, trying to work with God. God was faithful to him, and God gave him the greatest in his life, in his son Isaac, who was the one who was promised for him. That was who he had prepared for him the entire time. But then God tested him and asked him to give back the blessing, the greatest blessing that he received in his life, to give it back to God. And he trusted God to somehow, some way, give him back that blessing in return and give him back his only son. And God was faithful and passed the test. Amen? Amen. But after that, Isaac does not go back with Abraham to home. This is like a rite of passage. Isaac goes on to become an adult in his life. And Abraham had to continue to trust God to be his father when he couldn't be there for his son and to lead him. So when Abraham failed to get what he wanted, God was ready to provide what he needed in his life. And I found that to be true in my life, that when I fail to get what I want that seems good, I'm ready and open, because I'm not grasping for something. I have open hands, and I'm ready to receive the great that God has for me. See, God provides for us. Let's say that together. God provides for us when we need him most. God provides for us when we need him most. When the Israelites were led in the Exodus, led out of Egypt after the plagues and the Passover, and they came to the chaos of the Red Sea, and the armies were coming in behind him, what did God do? He provided for them a way that they could not make for themselves when they needed him most. Amen? You know, when they had Hurricane Irma, the winds were so strong, it was sucking the water off the coastline in Tampa. And people were going out onto where there was water and walking on the dry land. It made me think about how God provided a way when they couldn't provide a way for themselves, when they needed him most. And when Jesus came for us, the people of Israel were crying out to God, and they wanted a military, political Messiah who would overthrow Rome and set them free from imperial oppression. But that was the good that they wanted. The great that God knew that they needed and we needed was the suffering servant, our sinless Savior, who knew no sin, became sin so that we might become his righteousness. Amen? And God went even further than Abraham. He gave his only spotless lamb, his only begotten son, whom he loved. And he went up a mountain and was laid on wood and became the offering for all of us in our sins. And when it seemed all hope was lost, that was when he overcame sin and death for us. And God provided. God raised him up by the power of his Holy Spirit so that we could be free and we could have eternal life. Amen? Because God provides for us when we need him most. So I ask you today, what are your wants that you've been pursuing in your own power? What is the Ishmael in your life? Things that might be good. And it might even be something you think you're doing for God or is bringing honor to God. But I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, if there's an Ishmael in your life, will he give you the courage and the strength and the power to let that good go so that you can receive the great blessing that God wants for you? The blessing that's bigger than you. The blessing that will be a blessing to all nations or in our community or in the people you work with. That God can give you what you can't even dream of because he's given us Jesus. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will show you the Isaac in your life. But I want to challenge you to trust God like Abraham and to be willing to hold your Isaac, the greatest blessing in your life. It might be your family. It might be your career. It might be even your desire to be faithful to God and to do great things for God. Are you willing to offer that to him with open hands and to say in your life, somehow, some way, the Lord will provide. He will make a way. When there was no way, he sent Jesus who said, I am the way and the truth and the life, just like on the banners over there. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Amen? Amen. So I pray, God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on our church. We offer to you any Ishmaels in our life, good things that we brought about by our own power, but pale in comparison to the great blessing, the Isaac that you have for us in our mission and in our lives and in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Give us the courage and the faith to offer all that we have and all that we are to you. As we sang earlier, here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life gracefully broken. Take all that I have in my hands and multiply, God, all that I am. As I find myself on the altar again, set me on fire. God, set us on fire with your love and your compassion and your mercy, and lead us to pray and to plead and to share our testimony that overcomes by the power of the word of God and the blood of the Lamb, so that we can see the Isaac manifest in our lives, so that we can experience the abundant life that Jesus promised us, that he can lead us to people and places that we never imagined, so that we can see your kingdom come and your will be done here on heaven as it is in earth. And all the people of God said, amen. I want us to stand and we have a response. If the screen's working. Is it working, Dean?
It is back there.
Okay, good. Let's pray. Almighty and forgiving God, we, your unworthy servants, give you most humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Give us such an awareness of your mercies that our hearts may be thankful and that we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He will supply for your every need because he's given us Jesus. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. May the God of hope fill you all, whom he loves dearly, and I love you as well. in Christ's love. May he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him to provide for your needs when you need him most this week and especially today, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit.